This is Pastor Adam Lawson, First Apostolic Church of Shepherdsville. Thank you for tuning into our podcast, and thank you for your support. We hope you enjoy today's message. John chapter 5, I'm thankful for what I feel in this house. Amen. John chapter 5 and verse 1 says this, and this there was a feast of the Jews. Sunday school can be dismissed. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, all waiting for the moving of the water. For the angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease that he had. Today I'm going to preach for just a little while about the first step. The first step. If you would, lay your Bibles down and we're going to pray just one more time. Father, we love you and we're so thankful, Lord God, for what we've already felt in this place. And Lord God, what you're already doing, I pray that you would anoint my lips of clay, Lord, as I try to deliver what you give to me. I pray that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, and minds to understand what thus saith the Lord today in this service. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Somebody said amen. 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 You may be seated in Jesus' name. Me dropping the water up here is just the icing on the cake today. I took my grandchildren home from spending the weekend at Mama and Pawpaw's this weekend and got all the way there and all the way back with no issue. And I was on my way to Walmart to pick up some donuts for our Sunday school. And I noticed that my all-wheel drive light came on and my check engine light come on. And I said, well, that's not good. And so I went in, I got the donuts, left the car running. I thank God I did that. I thank God I did that. And so I get to Thornton's because I'm running low on gas. I knew I had to come, I got to come here today. So I turned the car off thinking that the all-wheel drive light would go away. And I pumped my gas and I got back in. I pressed the start button, only she wasn't starting no more. And so I thought, well, maybe if I just turn it off for a second again, it'll be okay. I turned it off. I turned it back on, and I hit it again. And guess what, Bro Jones? There wasn't no power. It wasn't doing nothing. And so I'm like, okay, it's going to be that type of day today. You know what? What I have found is that your greatest breakthroughs comes in the days where you're hit the hardest. The best breakthroughs come when the devil's fighting you the most. I'm going to tell you, you fighting to get here, Jesus has got something for you. You fighting hell to get to the house of God, that's because he knows there's a blessing waiting on you in that service. Amen? And so I figure out that my car ain't going to start, and I call Sister Lawson, and Sister Lawson's all chirping. She's like, hey, honey, what's up? I was like, well, my car broke down. She goes, no. And I'm like, yeah. Where are you? I'm just right across the street at Thornton's. Can you come get me and the kids? And she's like, yeah, I'll come get you. And so while she's on her way, I'm trying to push my car because I'm still stuck at the gas pump. And so I'm trying to push my car out of the way. And some fiend who will remain nameless that's in a back room cut out in front of me. I didn't know who it was. I'm trying to push my car and this car darts out in front of me. I'm like, for real? You can't see me pushing my car? You don't see me? It was Miguel, but it was okay. Let me tell you. We got to service, and from the very beginning, I said, we're going to have a move of God today. And you know what? We had a move of God today. And we had a move of God here today already. And I want to thank him right now for what I've already felt in this place. I want to thank him that I could be in Shelbyville or Shepherdsville. He's going to show up. And so this little water dropping down, that ain't nothing. The first step, we read in our text that there's a pool by the sheep gate where everybody's getting healed. We see a bunch of sick people there. It's where all the sick people hang out because they know that if they're there at the right time, they're going to get a healing. Can I tell you? They never left the pool because they never knew when the angel was going to come trouble the water. You know, that's why it's important to make sure that you make every service, because you never know when that service is going to be the one you need for your breakthrough. You never know. It may be that service that every chain is broken off of you. It may be in that service that you get the word you've been waiting on. It may be in that service that somebody needs you. Can I tell you, somebody needs your testimony? It's so good. When, look, I'm going to tell you, when I seen Marilyn and Robert, look, y'all, I was tickled to death. I saw y'all walking up. I made sure the temperature was just right because I was expecting y'all today. And then we get to worshiping, and I look around, and Josh and Audrey are here, and there was a little extra in my step. Why? Because it's encouraging. You know, the pastor likes to be encouraged. Believe that. And so we see these things, and you are needed. Look at your neighbor and tell them you're needed. We need to understand that here at Bethesda and in the church, there's all types of sickness. There's all types of problems. Here at the Pool of Bethesda, where the story takes place, there's all types of what they call impotent folk. That means they're lacking something. There's something wrong. Some were blind. Some were halt. Some couldn't walk. Can I tell you, in the church, there may be some dealing with depression, others dealing with anxiety. There may be a broken marriage in the house. There's all kinds of problems in the house. But can I tell you, you're right at the pool where you're supposed to be at. You're right in the place where God can do something amazing. And the thing about it is, we've got to be willing to take the first step. So in a broad sense, this crowd of impotent folk cover all spectrum of weakness. A lot of people been there for a lot of years. You know, there's people that might not suffer from blindness, but they suffer from addiction. Can I tell you, it would be, in my opinion, it would be easier to suffer with blindness than it would be addiction. I'm going to tell you, and there's all kinds of addiction. I personally was delivered from the spirit of alcoholism that plagued my family. That's what I was delivered from. But can I tell you, there is addiction to drugs. There's addiction to pornography. There's addiction to food. Oh, Lord, I ain't going to hit on that sacred calf. But there's people who are literally addicted to food. Anybody know anybody like that? Because I do. I personally do. That is how they get their comfort. That's how they cope. They eat. There are people who are addicted to their jobs and work. They're addicted to their hobbies. They're addicted to anything that will try to fill that hole. Can I tell you, there's a lot of weaknesses that still plague the earth today. And sometimes they make their way into the church, but that doesn't make them less than. That makes them somebody who's wanting change. And there can be change found at the pool. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord. The condition manifests itself in the lives of the people, and it fell under the category of impotency, meaning all these people were desperate. They couldn't help themselves. Anybody ever felt like that, that you just couldn't help yourself? That there was times where you struggled, and no matter how hard you struggled within yourself, you couldn't get past a certain thing. I know that's the case it was for me when I found my way to God. I couldn't do it on my own. I couldn't do it. Why is it that we wait until desperate things come before we turn to God? Why is that? Why is God the last one we look to, the author and the finisher of our faith, the very one who created us, who breathed life into us, who sustains us, who holds us in his hand? Why is he the last one we come to? Man, I had this very conversation, Daniel. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was a young buck. I had all the answers. I was all of 20 years old. I had it all figured out. Until I didn't. when crisis comes and you try working your way out of it. You try self-help books to get you out of it. You talk to your friends to try to get out of it, and nothing helps. You go to the doctor to get an answer, and he doesn't have an answer except for maybe some more drugs. But when you go to Dr. Jesus, he gets it right every time. Can I tell you, in my specific situation, I didn't want anything to do with God. I hated church people and everything about it. Thought they were a bunch of hypocrites. Anybody ever felt that way? Be honest. Thank you for your honesty. But you when you realize that some of his children just act a fool and don't know how to act, and it's not a reflection of God himself. You see, I called, at the time, the smartest person I knew, which was her mom. And I said, Deb, I don't know what to do. I was crying. Josh, I was bawling because I had my back against the wall. I didn't know what I was going to do. I could not fix this. I said, I've tried this. I did that. And I tried this. And then I'll never forget it. She said, well, have you tried church? I said, Deb, I said, don't talk to me like that. I don't want nothing to do with none of that mess, especially not the mess that you're dealing with. See, she went to an apostolic church. Yeah, she was one of them Pentecostal people that act all crazy, that get up here and worship and do all that mess and speak in tongues and all that. I wasn't raised like that. I was raised proper. We don't do all that mess. As a matter of fact, what I told Sister Lawson, I seen a camp meeting, and there was a little boy in a wheelchair, and he got up out of that wheelchair, and he began to walk, and everybody around him was going, woo, and shouting and hooping and hollering, and I said, that's fake. I remember it, because I'd never seen anything like that before. And I remember I told Sister Lawson and her mom, I said, you won't never catch me acting like that. You won't ever catch me acting a fool like that. I told her that. After I got over myself and took my mother-in-law's advice and called that pastor. He's a Pentecostal pastor, apostolic Pentecostal. Never heard of such an animal in my entire life. And he said, I was waiting for you to call, Adam. Lord, let me know you're going to call. I began to explain to him what was happening. He said, you know, it's no coincidence, Brother Lawson. He said, God's getting ready to do a miracle. And what happened next? He said, the most generic prayer I've ever heard in my life. It wasn't these thous and thuses and therefores and calling down fire from heaven. What he said was this. I remember it almost verbatim. Lord, I want your hand to be on Chrissy. Lord, you know the situation. I'm believing for a healing, a complete and total healing. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm thinking to myself, that's it? That's it. I thanked him for his time. I hung up the phone. I woke up early the next morning, went about my day, worked a full day, came home, and the very thing we prayed about was changed like that. God knew exactly what I needed to be persuaded to come to church. He was the last thing I went to, but the only thing I needed. I remember after that, Sister Lawson, you remember, we went to our first service. I got dressed up in the most horrific outfit you've ever seen in your life. Anybody ever seen a cherry red suit brighter than this red? That's exactly what I wore. I wore a cherry red suit with a bright blue silk shirt and a polka dot tie. I went in there looking like Bozo the Clown. Yes, I did. I went in there, but you know what? I didn't care. I thought I looked like $1 million. I went in there. I had the full-on mullet going. I had boots on. I was Billy Ray Cyrus, saved, sanctified, and ready to go, or so I thought. walked into that place, Sister Marilyn, there was a lady on the back row. She had her hands high, and tears were rolling down her cheeks. And I'll never forget it, Daniel. I was like, whoo, what is this? What is this I feel? And we scurried our way up. It was a little old storefront building. It wasn't nothing glamorous about it, not at all. There might have been 25 seats in that whole building, and we were in three of them, me, my wife, and my daughter. And we sat there, and that preacher began to preach, and I white-knuckled the back of that fold-up chair. Look, Jesus was working on me. And then came the altar call. I'm going to tell you, I couldn't get to that altar fast enough because Jesus done been working on me. I ran to that altar, and I come up there. That preacher laid his hand on me, and I was nevering like I never before in history, because I fell back speaking in tongues as the Holy Ghost gave the utterance. And that pastor said, "You want to be baptized?" I said, "Let's go ahead and do that, because I want to be right," because I had found something that the Lord had saved for me. You know, I went a million miles around to say this. Why is it that the very thing that we need is the last thing we look for? And it's because of this. It's because I knew that everything was going to change. I think sometimes we get afraid of the change that's coming. Amen. Let me get back to the text here. You see, there were many people like me at the pool that day. And they knew that if they were the next one to get in the water, as soon as that water began to move, if they knew that they could get in the water first, that they would get their miracle. They knew beyond the shadow of a doubt. They had heard about it or seen someone who received their miracle, and that seed of faith was planted in their hearts. Can I tell you? If we were to go around this room today, everybody has had a miracle. Every single one of us has had a miracle. I have had multiple miracles. I have seen multiple miracles. But can I tell you, you are in the miracle working place today. And we serve a miracle working God. And He is still very much alive. Amen. They heard that at a certain season, the water would start moving. And the first person in would be healed of whatever sickness or disease they had. The message spread far and near. There's a pool in Bethany at the Sheep Gate. You've got to come, because God is moving there. The Lord is troubling the water there. Can I ask, is that what they say about First Apostolic Church of Shepherdsville? Is the water being troubled here? Can I tell you, the water is being troubled here. People are being changed. God is doing what He does best, and that's the impossible. Are you noising it? Are you letting people know? I don't want to be the best kept secret in Shepherdsville, but I want to be known as the beacon where people can go and get deliverance, where people can go and get healed. This isn't in my notes, but let me tell you this. We have seen cancer healed. I'm talking terminal cancer healed in Shelbyville. One of my wife's lifelong friends came, and she said, "Look, I need prayer. They've diagnosed me with leukemia, and I'm about to get a bone marrow transplant. But before I go for my pre-op work, I want to come here and get prayer, because I believe that God can heal me." And we come in there. It was on a Wednesday night, if I'm not mistaken, Sister Lawson. It was Bible study night, Brother Nelson. And she came in, and she said that. And what did the church do? We came together, and we began to pray the prayer of faith. When you've been through something, you know how to pray the prayer of faith. When God has delivered you out of some things, you know how to pray the prayer of faith. And we began to pray. There wasn't a great outpouring. A few spoken tongues. And she went about her way. She said, "Tuesday, I've got to go to my pre-op. I'm believing that God is going to heal me. I'm going to preach a little while longer, and I'll tell you the finality of the story in just a minute." So not only were people walking around town who were living witnesses to the miracles that were happening there, they had personal testimonies, not just of what they'd seen, but their own personal miracles. How many of us have a personal miracle? How many of us has God done something that we know only God could do? Now my question is, who have you told about it? See, these people were telling everybody, come to the pool. If you have a need, come to the pool. Amen. So the multitudes came anticipating their own miracle. They knew the miracles happened after the moving of the water. They knew it happened at a certain season. But the big problem was they didn't know the day and they didn't know the hour when it would happen. But what they did know is that when it happened, the first person in got the blessing. The first person to get in the water, their healing happened. Amen. So there was an understanding that it didn't matter whether you had stage 4 cancer or you had a fever blister. If you were the first one in the water, your healing was there. And it wasn't a matter of how bad it was. Whatever it was healed. Can I tell you, my God can heal anything. From a headache to cancer, it doesn't matter. From a heartbreak to a heart that stopped, God can do whatever you have need of. I am personally testifying of what God can do. We're made to understand that nothing and no case is too hard for God. You have problems in your marriage, nothing's too hard for God. You have problems in your body, nothing's too hard for God. You have trouble in your finances, nothing's too hard for God. You have trouble with your children, nothing's too hard for God. You have trouble with your adult parents, nothing's too hard for God. Anybody have trouble with their adult parents other than me and Sister Lawson? Amen. My wife looked at me and she said, I didn't realize I'd be raising my mother and my father. Here we are living our best life. Amen. There was also an understanding that it didn't matter how many people jumped in the pool and splashed around. Nothing supernatural happened to them until the angel troubled the waters. So the Bible said this great multitude was gathered around this pool waiting for the waters to move. And no doubt many had stepped in the water before the season or after the season of the moving of the waters. And they had been disappointed. Anybody ever felt disappointed because God didn't show up when you thought he ought to show up? When you prayed for something so hard and he didn't do it. Well, you're in the right place today. Bible doesn't say that God sent an email to these people explaining the circumstances and the conditions for their miracles. So they must have learned through observation and trial and error. No doubt many had stepped in the water and been disappointed. But eventually they came to know there's a season the waters will move. And eventually, probably through trial and error, they came to understand that only the first person to step in was healed. I think that speaks to priorities. What comes first in your life? Is it Jesus first? Look, I come to understand one of the greatest pieces of advice I was ever given. Sister Lawson and I will be married 33 years this year. Sister Audrey, has it always been easy? No. I'm hard to love. I'm going to tell you, y'all ain't going to believe that, I know. But I'm pretty hard to love at times. But one of the greatest pieces of advice I was ever given, that pastor's wife came up and grabbed her hand and grabbed my hand. And she said, if you will put Jesus at the center of your marriage, you will have a productive, fantastic marriage. Do you know what, Brother Nelson? I found that to be true. Was it always easy? No. There's times she wanted to wring my neck. There's times I wanted to wring her neck. There's times that we fussed. Oh, my Lord. Y'all fussed? Yes, we fussed. You know what? When you love each other like God loves you, you work it out. Amen. Amen. Priorities and commitment. These people at the pool were committed. They stayed by that pool watching and waiting. How many of us are so committed to God, we are constantly watching and waiting for him to use me? We're watching and waiting, looking for those that God would have us speak to. Watching and waiting, just wondering, God, what would you have me to do today? Amen. Don't you know it took a level of commitment to be the person close enough to the water? They were probably sitting right on the edge all the time. And it only happened once a season. And so they just had to wait and watch. I wonder how much sleep they got, being afraid that they would miss it. How many events they missed just because they were afraid they're going to miss the troubling of the waters. I'm sure there was a lot of moving back and forth day by day, hour by hour, even minute by minute, trying to get to the place at the edge where they could be the first to step into the water. I could just imagine each of them looking out across the water, waiting for it just to ripple just a little bit because they knew, I'm about to get my blessing. Can I tell you, anytime you come to the church house, there's a blessing just on the horizon for you. You just have to be willing to commit to it and say, God, I need a blessing today. Amen. I wonder how many people just stepped in because they thought the water moved. Has anybody ever thought they saw something? Nothing actually happened, but you thought you saw something? I wonder how many people did that in anticipation just because they were on the edge of their seat wanting that healing. Can I ask a question? How bad do you want the thing that you've been praying to God for? How much are you willing to sacrifice for it? How much are you willing to give? How much are you willing to commit to what God has promised you? Remember, you don't know exactly when the water's going to move, so you have to be ready all the time. You do know that when the water moves, only the first person who steps in is healed. So you've got to be a little aggressive. You got to be a little pushy. I guarantee you, there was almost a fight down there at the edge of the water, people trying to get in. Can I tell you, you've got to be aggressive. You have to want your blessing from God. Can I tell you, when I come to church, I'm expecting a blessing. There's things that your pastor needs from God. And when you see me out here worshiping, I'm worshiping in advance that God, you're going to send a blessing. I already know it, and I'm ready. I am ready to receive. I'm ready to get whatever you got for me, Lord, whatever you have. I love seeing people get their blessings. I loved Brother Jones sending me a picture of a vehicle he bought that would finally tote all of his children around comfortably. It made me happy. I rejoiced with him. When his car broke down, I mourned with him. When he put a new transmission in it, I rejoiced with him again. But I'm not just here to rejoice with him. I'm here to get something for me too. There, I have needs too. And while I rejoice with you, I'm going to be ready for my blessing. Let me tell you something today. God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. How many of us love giving gifts to our kids? Or in our case, our grandkids. I don't care about the kids. I want the grandkids. I love watching their little faces light up. And they know this. Little con artists. I've got this little blonde-headed thing. It's got four eyes that runs around. And she knows, look, she called me. I'm going to tell on her. I'm going to tell her on a live stream. She called me the other day. Well, she called my wife first. She said, Mama, can I have some money for some Robux or Roblox or something like that? Some kind of online currency. I guess, whatever. And Mama was at work. She goes, you better call your pawpaw. Let pawpaw deal with it. Okay. She FaceTimes me because she knows that if I see those eyes, it's over. It's game over. She says, pawpaw, can you buy me some Robux? And I'm like, well, what's your mommy say? Never mind, click. She didn't want her mommy to know that she has because her mommy done told her no. And so I called her mom and I was like, is it okay if this one has Robux? She goes, absolutely not, Dad. You better not get them for him. I'm going to tell you right now. Well, I didn't. I didn't get them for her. But she come yesterday. She goes, Papa, it would really be nice. All the other kids have hoverboards, and I don't have a hoverboard. And I'm just telling you, it would be really nice if I could play with the other kids because right now all I can do is sit and watch. She really is. She really is. Do you know, if we know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more does Jesus know how to give us good gifts? And he wants to, but how bad do you want? I would have never known she wanted a hoverboard, which she'll probably get the next time she comes over. Has she not have told me? Has she not have been committed to? What is it that you want from God? And how much do you want it? How far are you willing to go to see that prodigal come home? How far are you willing to go to see that unsaved loved one in the church? How far are you willing to go to save your marriage? How far are you willing to go in prayer and fasting and commitment? How far are you willing to go to see that loved one saved? I don't know about you, but I want to get my blessing. You know, those kids, when it's time for mama and papa to start giving stuff out, they're not polite with one another trying to get to what's theirs. They'll push each other out of the way trying to get their blessing. How aggressive do we get when we want what we need from God? How bad do we want it? See, the people at the pool, they wanted their healing. But some of them wanted more than others because they made it to the pool one time. They were watchful. Can I tell you? Be on the lookout because God's wanting to bless you. He's wanting to, look, I'm going to tell you, he wants to give you the desire of your hearts, but how bad do you want it? There's sometimes I'll wait out my grandkids because I'll know it's a fad and it'll fade away. But then there's other things that they really want that I want to make sure they have. Jesus is no different. Jesus is no different. At some point, you've got to be like the woman with the issue of blood and decide, it don't matter how many people are around me, I'm going to get my blessing. It doesn't matter who says what, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. It doesn't matter what people think about me, I'm going to be like blind Bartimaeus. If they tell me to shut up, I'm going to shout that much louder. I'm going to worship that much harder. I want somebody to hear me today. You can't be bashful about the blessings of God. God wants to bless you, but how bad do you want it? Doesn't matter how many people I've got to get past or get through. I'm not here to observe. I'm here to participate. I'm here to be a part. I'm here because the Lord's going to show up in my circumstance. Amen. I'm going to press through till I get through. Amen. I don't care what I've got to do. Look, I'm going to tell you, I want a revival church in Shepherdsville. That's what I got my eye on right now. I'm going to tell you, Sister Lawson, she's like that, okay? I come into the office just to check on her, make sure everything's going okay. She goes, I've got some stats to tell you. And I'm like, okay. She said, 44 at Shelbyville last week. I said, okay. 36 at Shepherdsville, and it's 8 months old. I'm going to tell you, I about took a lap around the building because that's what God does. That's how the Lord works. I'm going to tell you, and God keeps adding. God keeps blessing. God keeps moving. And I'm going to keep reaching, and I'm going to keep believing until it fills up. I heard, I didn't get to do my announcements today, so let me do a little announcement here. I heard that there's somebody in the congregation that likes churches that are real close to their home. That's what I heard. Well, it turns out, and I'll make this announcement, we're going to be moving soon. We're going to be moving up toward town a little bit because God opened the doors for a blessing for this church. Amen. So we're looking at moving on June 1st. Look, Sister Lawson and I have been praying. Don't worry, guys. It's not very far. It's only about a mile and a half up the road. They're like, oh, Lord, where are you moving to? It's only about a mile and a half up the road. It's just past the interchange there, about a mile up on the left toward Mount Washington. Very close to Mount Washington. It's weird. It's weird how close to Mount Washington it is. Huh. Weird. It's almost like God heard somebody's prayer. I don't know. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. It was an answered prayer for us too. Because God knew what we needed. There's so much more traffic there. Look, I'm going to tell you, the word's going to get out. We're going to fill that building up. We're going to have a wonderful problem. We're going to have a wonderful problem. Right now, I've heard estimates to where it was seats between 60 to 80. I don't know, but I feel like we're going to hit that real quick. Like, I was talking with the landlord, and he said, now you, we're just thinking about a one-year lease. And I said, yeah, I reckon that we could go for that. He said, I'm going to be honest with you, Pastor, I don't see you staying there long. He said, my sister was telling me about meeting you guys, and there ain't no way that church is going to stay small. Praise God. How many of us will agree with that? Amen. What you got to understand is when you pray and you're consistent and persistent, it gets God's attention. When you speak life, Lord, I feel a little bit of Shelbyville bleeding over right now. You get what you speak. Look, if you think that you're always going to have it bad, you're always going to have it bad. If you believe you're always going to be sick, you're always going to be sick. But can I tell you, I'm believing that we're going to enter a season of revival and that the back door is going to continually be open, that God's going to send new people every single week. The ones that we've been praying for, God is going to send because we're being persistent and we're being good stewards with what we have. I'm thankful for everyone. I'm going to tell you too on the back row, Marilyn, Rob, I thank God for you this week. I did. I prayed for y'all, and I just began to thank God for you. Josh and Audrey, same thing. Lord have mercy. I was so thankful. I'm going to tell you, when I was talking in Shelbyville, I told them about you getting the Holy Ghost. That place blew up because there's a bunch of people excited about what God's doing in Shepherdsville. Amen. I believe that God is going to continue. And I'm pursuing it. I'm sitting by the pool. Amen. Now, here's the point that I'm trying to get to, that I have to make. When the water moved, there was healing, but the healing didn't happen for everyone. It only happened for one person. Didn't matter what their problem was, large or small, desperate condition or mild condition, that was not the deciding factor. The deciding factor was who stepped in. So here we go. First of all, it didn't matter how many people stepped in the water, it was the first one in. Secondly, when the water did move, if you didn't step in, you missed your miracle. That's the point I'm getting to. There are the two ingredients. The supernatural, there's the supernatural and the natural. There's God's part and our part. God is not going to do what you can do for yourself. God is not going to do it all for you. Can I tell you? The Bible says, if I be lifted up, that's your part, I will draw all men unto me. That's his part. Can I tell you, when we lift him up in praise and worship, that's when he starts drawing people. When we lift him up in outreach, that's when he starts drawing people. When I do my part, God's going to do his part. Tell your neighbor, when I do my part, God's going to do his part. We know that it was the power of God that moved in the water, and it was up to the person who wanted their miracle to step in. So my friend, just like it was that day, there is a moving of the Spirit that we must capitalize on. When the Holy Ghost begins to move, that's our opportunity to lift our hands and say, God, here I am, and I am available. Whatever you need, you should be the very first person on your feet. If you've got a need before God, you should be on your feet saying, here I am, Lord. Fill me, heal me, deliver me. I need you. And when you do that, God will show up. Amen. He will not do for you what you can do for yourself. You can say it's not about feelings. I understand what you're saying. I agree with you. This is a faith walk, and I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Ghost that lives in me is the same Spirit that gave sight to the blind, that raised the dead, that same Spirit that's in me. You see, greater works than these shall you do is what Jesus said. You remember that? It says that in your Bible, that he'll use you just the same way. But we have to believe for it. We have to be readily available for it. We have got to be expecting it. We've got to know what we know. And we've got to know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that if he did it in the book of Acts, if he did it 6 years ago, he's going to do it again today. Because my God never changes. And he is a good, good father. He's the one that wants to bless you. He wants to see you prosper. He wants to see you healed and delivered. Amen. He's the one that reached way down from heaven and he saved my soul. That day that I went to that altar, I had absolutely nothing to offer him. And he said, I'll take this goofy looking one right here. You didn't have to amen the goofy one. I'll take this one right here that has absolutely nothing to offer me, because with that I can make something. He's done messed everything up, so he knows that it ain't him. He'll know it's me. And when he filled me with his spirit, I felt it. Something changed. Something changed. Bro Jones, I had tried to quit the things that I was doing that wasn't no good for me before. But now with the help of the Holy Ghost, I was able to throw some stuff away. You see, it was funny on my way to the church service that day that I got the Holy Ghost for the very first time. On my way there, I had my little suit on. I was smoking my little cigarette on my way to church, and I was trying to flip my ashes out the window. And Brother Nelson, as fate would have it, it wasn't fate, it was Jesus. That fire came right back in and burnt me right on my lapel where everybody could see it. And I took that old pack of cigarettes, I crumbled them up in my hands, and I threw them out the window, and I said, no more. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost that day. Never smoked another cigarette. Let me tell you something, there's something about the power of the Holy Ghost. The old song says it, I can't explain it, but I got it. Oh, yeah. And it goes on to say, you can have it, you can have it. Because there's something about the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I got it. You see, I feel this. Proximity to the pool didn't guarantee a miracle. Just because you're in the church doesn't guarantee a miracle. Just because you come to a building doesn't guarantee you a miracle. What guarantees your miracle is your persistence and your willingness to be available when the Spirit's moving. When God bids you to come, are you willing to come? And stepping into that pool was no small thing. It's a big decision, and it's still a decision on your part. Nobody takes that step accidentally. You know exactly what you're doing. And I know it's a scary step. See, I'm trying to word this in a way where it's politically correct. I came from a belief that you could live like the devil on Saturday night and be all right on Sunday morning because you couldn't go to hell if you wanted to. And so I thought church was just going to church. I didn't know anything about it, but Sister Lawson had a little background in the apostolic Pentecostal faith, and she knew that there were some lines that had to be drawn, that there was some stuff that we didn't do no more. I didn't realize that because I grew up a different way. And so she was a little reluctant at first. But I'm going to tell you, it took one service. It took one service. You know, that's the reason why a lot of people don't come, because they're afraid of that one service. Because they know everything's about to change. But can I tell you, when we took the plunge, when we jumped in, Jesus changed everything and everything was all right. Can I tell you, that's the biggest ploy of the enemy that says, look at everything you're going to have to change. Yeah, I don't drink no more. Yeah, change that one. I don't smoke no more. Change that one. I don't talk with a sailor mouth no more. Change that one. You're right. You're right, devil. I did change a lot of things, and a lot of things got a whole lot better. And look, I know where I spent my money on Saturday morning when I woke up, and I'm not spending my money on alcohol no more. I'm not living a life where I feel beat down all the time. Whew, my Lord. No one takes a step accidentally. You know exactly what you're doing when you step in. You know, hey, look, I'm going to tell you, people have already counted it. Well, how many of us, when we decided to get in, we decided, I'm getting all the way in. I'm getting all the way in. We understand it's not involuntary. It's not like breathing or blinking your eyes. It's very voluntary. There's some ingredients to taking the step, and I'm trying to hurry. First is the mind. The mind is more than the brain. It's intellect and will and emotions. The mind makes the decision, I want to take a step. It comes to agreement with nerve cells to get that leg moving. The body has to come together. The nerve cells, called motor neurons, transmit the message from the brain to the spinal cord to the skeletal muscles, causing them to contract, and then comes the step. I said all that to say this. There is a move of God that's sovereign and it's divine, and when its presence comes near to you, it stirs your spirit, and when your spirit gets stirred, that's when you take the step. That, look, I'm going to tell you, when you feel them tears rolling, that's when you take the step. When you feel that conviction in your heart, that's when you take the step. When you feel God begin to move and call on you, that's when you begin to take the step, because he's leading you into deep waters where you can be made whole. My God, it's intentional, purposeful decision, an act of your will, and the actual movement on your part. You have got to step in. You've got to step in. You can sit back in your pew and spectate and miss what God has for you, or you can step in. The choice is yours. By an intentional, purposeful decision and act of your will. And I can tell you, steppers are rewarded. When you take that step, God's going to do everything that he promised. When you take that step, God's going to do his part. Every time you move, God is going to move with you. While you're sitting somewhere looking cute in his presence, somebody who's hungry and thirsty, somebody who's desperate, somebody who needs a miracle is going to blow right by you and might bump you on the way, because that's what desperate people do. When you get desperate for God to move in a situation, you're not going to worry about what everybody else thinks. I'm going to get what I need from God. I don't care what my spouse thinks. I don't care what my neighbor thinks. I don't care what Sister Sally thinks. I've got a need. And what their perception of me, it doesn't matter compared to the need that I have. So when the Holy Ghost moves, I am moving with it. I am going, look, I learned a long time ago, I don't care what people think about me when I go to the altar. You can think what you want to. You can think I'm an axe murderer. I don't care. Because I'm getting what I need from God. In that moment, there is something that I need. And when the Lord pricks my heart, I know it's time for me to move. Amen. I've found over the years that desperate people get pushy. Desperate people can break the speed limit. Can I get a witness? Amen. Desperate people aren't worried about their hair. The desperate people don't have any pride. They're not worried about getting their suits wrinkled. There's been many a times that God had to humble me. He'd say, you're going to need to roll. Lord, I got a new suit on. Yeah, that's why you need to roll. You think you're something. I'm going to tell you, I'm not too proud to roll. I'm not too proud to shout. I'm not too proud to sweat. I'm not too proud to shout. I'm not too proud to dance. My dance might be ugly. I've had people video my dance and put it on Facebook. It's not pretty. I seen that. I was like, Lord, why'd you do that? Our problem is too many times we're too casual about the move of God. We're too casual. Maybe it's old shoe to us, right? We're so used to feeling God that we don't get moved anymore.
We have comedians now that make fun of us.
You got your half. You got your half mass preachers. Mm-hmm. You got your give me some more preachers. You got your touchdown preachers. You got your helicopter people. I'm a helicopter person. I'm also a whirlybird person. I'm also one of these people. I don't care. I'm going to worship God because you know what? Ask me why and I'll tell you why. Because of everything that he's done for me, and he's never let me down. Not in 32 years. He's never let me down. Not one time. And he don't plan on doing it anytime in the future. Can I tell you, when I go before him with a need and I do it with some tenacity, God always shows up.
Every time the water moved, it was a miracle for somebody who grabbed it. Whether we know it or not, we don't have a guarantee that the Spirit of God is going to move whenever we want him to. But where two or three are gathered together, he said, I'm in the midst of them. Can I tell you, when we start worshiping, God shows up. Amen. We owe him everything. I owe him everything. Everything that I am, ever have been, or ever will be, I owe to him. Look, there are so many blessings that he's brought that I did not deserve. How many of us have blessings that we know we don't deserve? Look at your husband, look at your wife. You ain't good enough to deserve her. Bible says that she's like rubies. She is. I'm going to start calling you Ruby. Now, wives, look at your husband. That's some type of hunk of man right there. And the fact that he's bringing you to church where you can, he can follow God and you follow him, that's huge. And that's not something everybody gets to experience. Our blessings are all around us and sometimes we don't even realize it. You can sit on the porch, or you can get off the porch and run with the big dogs and get your blessing. Back to Jennifer. I'm going to start my closing. Jennifer called us that Tuesday. At that time, Sister Lawson and I were working together. And she called my phone, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's weird. And she said, Adam, I need you to get your wife. I need to talk to the two of you. And I'm thinking, oh, my word. So I grabbed Sister Lawson. I pull her into the break room where we were working. I put her on speaker. I said, go ahead, Jennifer. You got both of us. She said, well, I just left the doctor's office. I said, okay. She said, they came in to draw my blood to get all the blood work done for my bone marrow transplant. Uh-huh. The nurse came in. She drew it. And I sat in the room for a long time. About 30 minutes later, a different nurse came in and drew blood again. This time the gap was a little shorter. It was about 20 minutes. And then the third nurse came in and drew the blood. And then one more time, the doctor came in and the doctor drew the blood. And she left and she said, but when after that time, about 20 minutes later, the doctor came back in and she was weeping profusely. And Jennifer thought to herself, she told us, she said, I thought it must be really bad. The doctor looked at her and she said, we can't explain it. But you don't have leukemia. We can't even find the markers for leukemia, as if you never had a condition in your entire life. What happened was she came to church with an agenda and something on her mind that said, I'm not leaving without my blessing. She got that woman that grabbed the hem of the garment blessing. She got that pool of Bethesda blessing where she said, I'm going to be the first one in the water. Can I tell you, if God can do a miracle like that for somebody who just knew where to go, what can he do for you? At the end of the day, you have to wonder, how bad do I want what I'm asking God for? Am I willing to do what it takes? Am I willing to step in the water? As we stand,